Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and we've got a really nice treat. We've got sports editor from the Lawrence Journal World, Henry Greenstein, will be on tonight, and we will be talking about Kansas Jayhawks versus the Illinois Fighting Illini, this time in basketball, the exhibition to support Maui Strong. So if you have not gotten your ticket and you are within a nice commute of Champaign-Urbana, they still have tickets on sale for $40, and it is an excellent cause. And for the dollars that you would spend, I'm not certain that there's a better live sporting event, dollar for dollar value, anywhere in the U.S. But we'll be right back after these messages, and we will talk with Henry. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, Mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. Welcome to Eye on the Illini. As promised, this is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Henry Greenstein. He is the sports editor of the Lawrence Journal World out of Kansas. He's been on before, folks. He was on before the ill-fated Illinois-Kansas football game that turned out to be just a nightmarish evening for the Fighting Illini, and he's coming back for the, we're going to talk about the exhibition game between the Jayhawks and the Fighting Illini, this time in Champaign-Urbana. Henry, how have you been?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's very fortuitous to have these schools playing twice in succession in different sports, and just like last time, there's a lot of interesting connections and things to talk about. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a friendship between Coach Underwood and Coach Self. It's something that the two of them obviously enjoy each other's company. They seem to respect each other. And we know that they watched part of the Kansas-Illinois football game together. And the two are also the type of guys who really are pretty serious customers when it comes to winning games and wanting teams that compete hard on the basketball court.
Absolutely, for sure. And you know, there's plenty more ways in which this Kansas team is tied to Illinois. You know, the most obvious being, of course, that Self coached there for 3 years and had a lot of success, and didn't really, he said he was reluctant to come back for a while because there were so many emotions tied up in it, but they never really talked about scheduling games with Illinois, but now they're getting a chance to do that. And then, of course, you got Hunter Dickinson returning to a Big Ten away environment, and which I'm sure he'll be greeted warmly. And then we got Kevin McCullough and Terrence Shannon, used to be teammates at Texas Tech, both went into the draft at the same time and ended up transferring. So, yeah, lots of interesting connections between these teams.
Yeah, Hunter Dickinson's one of my favorites. Now, I know he arouses the ire of a lot of opposing Big Ten teams. What I like about him is that he gives his honest opinion and he gives you non-standard answers, and then people get mad at him for telling the truth. And then later on, they're mad at other players and coaches for giving the one day, one game at a time standard tropes of, you know, of athletes. And I really appreciate somebody who's going to tell you what he thinks. I wonder, will Coach Self put a stop to that?
No, I think, well, Self talked about this a little bit at Big 12 Media Days. He said, you know, one thing about Hunter is if you put a microphone in front of him and ask a question, unfortunately, he's going to answer it. That's the way he put it. But no, I think they're trying to maintain that personality. I do think Hunter has reined it in a little bit. I mean, if you hear his public comments these days or interview him, he's become a lot more mild in the terms of sentiments he shares, but still confident. And that confidence is something that really shines through with the teammates and the coaching staff. Self has described it like, you know, when you go into a gym with Hunter, you feel so much better having him on their side. And that's something that I think will be super advantageous for KU, especially as it tries to incorporate so many other newcomers besides him this year.
So who does it look like? I mean, they're only, you know, they're only ranked number one. So not a bad place to start the season. What is the starting lineup going to look like? You know, I know it's only an exhibition, but let's assume they're going to start a team that would be similar to what they would start in the regular season. Who are the starters for this team?
Well, we know four for sure. We know DeJuan Harris will be playing point guard, one of the best true point guards in the country. We know Kevin McCullough will be playing on the wing. We know Hunter Dickinson will be playing center, and we know that KJ Adams will be starting in kind of a newer position for him at the four. He was playing as an undersized five for a lot of last season. So there's going to be interesting to see how that give and take goes with him and Hunter, especially because KJ is not someone who's been known for cultivating an outside shot, but that's something he's been working really hard on developing over the offseason. The final starting spot, which we're thinking of it mostly as a shooting guard spot, although it's possible that if they choose a particular person, maybe Kevin McCullough could be seen as more of a shooting guard, but there's several candidates for it. I'm going to start with the person who's currently injured, who is Johnny Furphy. Big hype surrounding this prospect. He was a total unknown and prior to this year, and still a partial unknown prior to July, but he broke out at the NBA Academy games in Atlanta and just dazzled everyone. And he had reclassified to 2024, but started getting all these blue blood offers pouring in. He's a lanky athletic wing. He's listed as 6'9", 202. He can shoot on the outside. He can finish above the rim. There's so much excitement surrounding him, but you know, he didn't come to campus until right around the time the semester started, because they didn't sign him until while they were in Puerto Rico at the beginning of August. He didn't come to campus until the semester started, and now he's dealing with shin splints, which have caused him to miss. Yeah, it's caused him to miss 10 practices in a row. He had also dealt with shin splints back when he was in Australia, and so he will not be starting. But he's viewed as a potential candidate for that role down the line. The other two candidates for the last starting spot are Elmarco Jackson and Nick Timberlake. Nick Timberlake is a sixth-year senior transfer from Towson who lit up the scoreboard there. He's best known for his outside shooting, but is a pretty good athlete too. And he's going to be under a lot of pressure in the outside shooting capacity, because really this team doesn't have anyone else who's super known for being a volume three-point shooter. And then Jackson, Bill Self has repeatedly said he has the potential to be the best athlete on the team. He played lacrosse as a kid. He didn't get into basketball until several years ago, but he became a McDonald's All-American. He has like insane kind of straight line speed and also agility, and he's really good in transition and also driving the basket. So, I mean, if you ask me now, I would say Timberlake probably ends up being the starter just based on experience and three-point shooting, but it wouldn't be surprising at all in any way for Jackson to usurp that spot as the year goes on.
Yeah, this looks like a team that's really, even by Kansas standards, this is a very athletic team.
Absolutely. I mean, somewhat to the detriment of other skills you might like to have almost. But yeah, I mean, when you have a lineup that could potentially have like Elmarco Jackson, Kevin McCullough, KJ Adams, and Johnny Furphy all at the same time, that's unparalleled. So I'll be very excited to see all that. It'll be a high-flying group for sure.
Yeah, Illinois will feature a pretty athletic team, but as good as they are, there's some real studs on the Kansas team as well. How have you heard anything about practice? How are these guys playing together early on?
By all accounts, they're gelling quite well. I think one key component to that is that Hunter Dickinson has been able to take on a leadership role in the early going and become very well respected, even as someone who wasn't familiar with the system and had been at Michigan for 3 years. And I think he, along with, you know, the usual suspects, Kevin DeJuan, KJ and whatnot, like they all played a good role in welcoming these freshmen in. I think the fact that El Marco and Jamari McDowell as well, the third freshman on the team, we're here starting back in like June has also helped them get integrated. But yeah, by all accounts, things are going pretty well. I think the main concern is just the lack of depth. I think that's something that will hamstring them quite a bit, especially with Furphy hurt right now.
Yeah, and if, with as they come into this game, how do you think Self is viewing this? Of course, he's going back to his old stomping grounds. And I'll be honest with you, he is a legend at Illinois. His 3 years were spectacular there. The first 3 years of Weber were amazing. And then there was a drop-off because Weber was never the recruiter that Self was. And so people point back to Self as being the foundation for the Final Four run. And so he may get, you know, depending on your point of view, he may get too much credit. Or from other people, they think he doesn't get enough. But how do you think he's going to react? Is he coming to Champaign to do an exhibition, or is he coming to show old Illini faithful that he's still got it and he's here to win a game?
Well, it's interesting what you said, because, yeah, it's always challenging trying to reevaluate those things in retrospect. But, yeah, I think certainly you'd like to win if you're KU, but I think that Self has said he wants them to get exposed. Like, that there are things that they've only sort of just started practicing. They don't necessarily know, like, certain ways. He gave the example of a post trap. We had KU Media Day yesterday, so lots of information in my mind. But he gave the example of getting trapped in the post. He was like, well, we just practiced that for the first time yesterday. I don't know if Illinois is going to do that. So I think he's hoping it'll expose certain vulnerabilities that they haven't even thought about yet. Sort of what you would expect if you were just doing a closed scrimmage. That's the thing, is I think for us and for fans as well, this all feels very novel because you don't see a matchup of top 25 teams in October. But, I mean, this would be happening. What makes it different is the fact that a lot of fans are going to be in attendance, and they all paid a lot to be there, and they'll be very excited to see and all that. But coaches are used to getting to test their team out against fairly strong competition at this point in the year, even if it seems like something rather unusual. But yeah, I think Self is mostly, I think he really does not care too much about the outcome of this, but just wants to see. And from my perspective, I'll be interested most to see how the freshmen adapt to the collegiate level of play.
Yeah, it's interesting there. And Illinois's got a little different thing. They're one of the oldest teams in the NCAA, and they expect to be able to weather the storm with some of these, you know, Coleman Hawkins, obviously, and Terrence Shannon Jr. being, you know, veterans, but even bringing in guys like Damask from SIU, you know, you're expecting, you know, him to have seen just about everything. And they expect some of that age to come out on the basketball court. And the team is relatively gelling pretty well from what we're heard on practice. And, you know, I was listening to a interview with, you know, Bill Simmons talking to an NBA basketball coach, and basically, you know, one of the things that was said in the interview is if your team, you know, if your team doesn't get along, you're and they don't gel as a unit, you know, you're kind of in big trouble. That was Doc Rivers. And this team seems to be gelling as a unit, which the Illinois team last year never did. Mm. And so you hear a lot of positives before the opening tip, of course, we'll see a little bit. Last year, Illinois reportedly was maybe a point or two ahead in their super double secret probation scrimmage. And Illinois, you know, went out and had a season that was remarkable when you consider they lost, you know, over 80% of their points and minutes, and they made it to the NCAA tourney. But people were hoping for more than an opening round bow out to the Arkansas Razorbacks. So part of the season was a big success to make it to the tournament, and part of the season was a big frustration. So maybe if Kansas comes out ahead, maybe Illinois can make a really big run in the tournament and flip the tables on the story from what happened last year.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Arkansas. Well, that's another connection between these teams. They both suffered disappointing early round losses to Arkansas last year. But yeah, I thought it was interesting you mentioned Coleman Hawkins. I'll definitely be watching those matchups in the post quite closely. You know, one thing KU people haven't really seen yet, based on the Puerto Rico, there was one game in Puerto Rico where Hunter Dickinson sort of took over and looked like what you'd want Hunter Dickinson to be. I think this will be a challenge for him in that respect. I also think it'll be a way of seeing where he's at defensively. You know, Self mentioned the other day, like, if Hunter Dickinson were to play against a player like KJ Adams, that could be a challenge for him because of the sorts of concepts that would open up for opposing offenses. Now, obviously, there aren't a lot of people with the skill set and the physicality of KJ Adams out there, but it'll just be interesting to see the ways that teams try to test him on defense in the early going and how KU adapts to that.
Yeah, and he's struggled. I don't think he's ever won a game against Illinois.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
and of course they don't have the physicality of Kofi, and he just couldn't. Very few. Zach Edey could handle the physicality of Kofi, and nobody else could. So it's no slight against Hunter that he struggled with Kofi, but there's no Kofi out there. Although Dane Danger, with his extremely long reach, can be problematic for many people, but like Hunter, he has to avoid foul trouble, and so we'll see how that goes. What do you consider the biggest question mark on this team? Is it the depth or anything else that comes to mind?
Well, I mentioned perimeter shooting. That's one, and that's straight from Self himself. It's not just us speculating about it as we are wont to do. That's the problem. But the biggest problem is the depth. I mean, just to make the numbers of this explicit, KU has 10 players on scholarship. One of them is Zach Clements, who is going to redshirt this year, and they have not really wavered from that in any substantial way. He's going to redshirt because of a weird scenario where he was going to leave in the transfer portal for UC Santa Barbara, but then it turned out like a month later he actually wanted to come back, and part of his coming back was wanting to redshirt and preserve a year of eligibility and learn the ropes again, even though he's already been in college. So Zach Clements will not be playing. And then, like I said, Furphy out with shin splints. That shouldn't keep him out for that much longer, but you have to think he's going to have reduced minutes in the aftermath. So you're suddenly facing a team where you have four locked-in starters. You got a sixth-year senior transfer, two freshmen, and then a player in Parker Brown who really just is expected to be Hunter Dickinson's backup. He's really athletic. He's the brother of Christian Brown, but the expectations for him haven't been super high so far. So, I mean, if you lose someone significant to an injury, you're in hot water. I don't know how they will be able to recover from that. And that's the biggest thing I'm following. You know, they have some competent walk-ons, but you don't want to really be giving them any significant level of playing time, if you can help it. So that's what I'll be tracking. And it would do a lot of good for KU if they could see like a Jamari McDowell, who's the freshman who sort of received the least shine, play really well in a game like this.
So in the Big Ten of football this year, Wisconsin was ranked, 14th in the country, 15th in the country at the beginning of the season. A lot of us in the, you know, who'd followed football couldn't really understand how you would take a team that's used to drive blocking for a living, put them in an air raid offense, and how they were going to somehow be a top 15 team. when you talk about some of the challenges Kansas has, doesn't mean they're not a really good team. Do you think the people rating, you know, the various polls that are putting them at number one, is that kind of an unfair expectation to put on a team that's this thin, or is their athleticism so good that it just may spur them on to greater things?
I think it's fair to put them at number one. I mean, just on paper, you have such incredible returning talent in those stars I mentioned, and you add the most coveted player in the history of the transfer portal. It makes sense as an equation, plus how highly touted those freshmen are. It makes sense to me. You're just, there's a lot of ifs and conditionals involved in them getting from preseason number one to postseason number one and being a champion. And I mean, the biggest if is if everyone stays healthy. Now, I mean, it's certainly possible that, like I said, someone like a Jamari McDowell could step up, and then maybe if you lose DeJuan Harris, that would be pretty bad for them. But you see my point, just that if these bench players and freshmen in particular are able to earn trust right away, maybe it's not so big a deal if they happen to lose someone to injury.
Yeah, we'll be very interested. Illinois has a point guard by committee, so we'll be very interested to see how Kansas attacks that position as the ball is on the offensive end, and then how Illinois tries to stop such a talented point guard. So that will be very eye-opening for the Illini fans, and I'm not certain you could draw up a more difficult opening exhibition game test to see this theory of the point guard by committee.
Yeah, that system sounds like it could go very well or very poorly for them. And another thing I want to add is just that, and they said this a lot at Big 12 Media Day, the expectations inherent in being the Kansas basketball program are already so high that adding on number one really doesn't mean much to the players in terms of additional pressure, or Bill Self for that matter, just because of the expectations that are already present in that program from year to year. So from an internal perspective, I'm sure they've brushed it off substantially, but I think externally, it does make a lot of sense to put them there.
Now, do they feel better getting through the they didn't come through unscathed for the FBI portion of the investigation, but certainly the NCAA portion of the investigation, Kansas skated quite freely through that. Does that take a relief off of the players, or is this more of the coaches and the administration who were worried about that?
It's more the coaches. I mean, as Bill Self has been saying, some of these guys were in junior high when these allegations first came out. But from Self's perspective, I mean, he said at Media Day last week that now it's time to go for the throat. That was his big line that everyone quoted, is that now he feels as though a weight has been lifted and Kansas can start pursuing top players again, which of course prompts the question of what were they doing previously, if not pursuing.
Yeah, that's laughable. But, you know, these coaches, it is so funny to see a guy ranked number one and got his two national titles, and now he's trying the me against the world thing. But yeah, that is so prevalent in all of society that I guess everybody has to do it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's kind of funny to hear that, but I think at least from his standpoint, that's how he sees it. Obviously, the most significant punishment was having to vacate 15 wins from the second half of the 2017 to 2018 season, in which Sylvia DeSosa participated, and they have indeed taken down the 2018 Final Four banner. But yeah, as you said, for all intents and purposes, unscathed as far as the future trajectory of the program goes. But honestly, I don't know if anyone in the last few years was really thinking about this other than those of us who had to monitor every development for a living and be acutely aware of just how much the IARP drag its feet on this. So I don't know if there will be an immediate transformation of any sort, because I just don't feel like this issue was in the public consciousness nearly as much as it was in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, I think it's more of a media thing. And to be honest with you, you almost look at this, if this is going to, you know, you've already had North Carolina skate for having people take classes that didn't exist. FBI gets involved. People in Oklahoma State have their careers dashed. and nothing happens here. And now you almost wonder, you know, with the whole Michigan scandal, probably won't be much out of that either. Is there even a point of having – it may be time for the NCAA to die and see what sort of phoenix rises out of its ashes to see if there's an organization that may meet the needs of this generation. Or maybe each conference just self-regulates and we, you know, let it – you know, you win games, you win. If you lose, you lose. And make sure you're not dumb enough to – put a scandal that makes your university president get mad at you as a coach.
Yeah, who knows really, because each new development in college sports to me has been equally surprising. So I have no sense of where things will go from here. But yeah, certainly, I mean, this Michigan thing reveals that there's still new frontiers in college athletic scandals to be explored now that the scandals of paying players have subsided. Now we're moving on to more and more esoteric aspects of the game.
Yes, I like the idea of a guy who's so good that he can decode what teams are doing if you give him film and the plays and the time, but not smart enough to charge tickets to somebody else's account. You know, yeah. It's like the guy's got a future in decoding, but not as a crime lord. So anyway, any other thoughts on this game that's upcoming here on Sunday night? Of course, for fans out there, Sunday the 29th, 5:00 BTN. And I guess we should say, in fairness, you got to give Coach Underwood and Coach Self a ton of credit. The proceeds of this game are going to go to the survivors of the Maui fire and to help people rebuild out there for the devastating fires that happened a couple months ago. A fantastic cause. There are still a number of tickets that are available, and I think they're only $40 a pop, which for the quality of teams that you're going to see out there, I'm not certain there's a better live ticket value that you could find anywhere.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That was going to be my note as well. Self said the other day they expect the game to raise over $2 million. For the Maui Strong Fund. So, they acknowledge how important the island has been as a host of that tournament. And it was also good to see around the time this happened, other teams jump in and have charity exhibitions of their own. Should be exciting. I think those are most of my thoughts on it. I'm just excited to see how it all unfolds. There's been an off season of such vigorous speculation. Now it's time to get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, it is. It's time. And this is the best time of the year because you've got college football going on. You've got college basketball going on. You've got the NFL. You've got the World Series. The NBA just started. I don't care about hockey, so that doesn't hit my radar. And there's always one or two good prize fights, you know, before the year ends. This is just a great time. So for me, it's the best time of the year sports-wise. I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, especially as someone who grew up primarily watching the NFL. I value it tremendously. And then, of course, you know, the World Series. I'm a bit of a soccer fan, and MLS playoffs are also going on. So you can just keep adding on. And there's more and more to explore. It's a stark contrast from, say, a July.
Yes. Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I'm totally with you there. So if you enjoy Henry's work, you can find him, a sports editor of the Lawrence Journal World. And, of course, you know, he's got stuff there. And, of course, you can find him at KU Sports as well. So do not hesitate to seek out his articles. That's how I found him originally, is I just look for good articles. And then I go, I want these people on the show. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. A pleasure as always.
All right. Have a great day. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know. So I'd like to thank Henry for coming on the show. Really appreciate him taking time out this evening to talk to us about this matchup. Again, a fantastic cause. Kudos to Coach Underwood and Coach Self for finding a way to make this happen. And expectations are to raise somewhere around $2 million for a fantastic, Maui Strong cause. And we would love to see as many Illini fans show up as possible to cheer on the Illini. And it should be a fantastic event to be at. We will have reporting after the game, and we will talk to Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. Until then, go Illini.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.